Well, good morning. Pastor Rick and Robin are on their way, flying on a bird, to a nice, beautiful area, the Bahamas. Don't you feel bad for them? Yeah, boy. Well, here we are, and what a great group. Good to see all of you, whether you come from the Northland and or you're coming from wherever you might have come. It's good to see all of you back. And especially Mike Gardner. Welcome, Mike. Welcome back. We love you, and he's just as crazy as ever and as funny as ever. That's good. Hasn't changed a bit. So good to have you back with us, Mike, and all of you. Amen. It's good to come together, God's family, right? It really is. When we come from all different walks of life in different parts of the country, we come together for worship, and some people had good weeks, and had a bad week, whatever. We come here, this is all good, right? When we come together, it's a great place to be. And so today we're once again going through Matthew. And Matthew, this part of Matthew is the last week of Jesus' earthly life before he's going to be crucified. And he is really hammering the Pharisees week after week with these different lessons to try to get them to see that they are not the source of the solution, they are the problem. And they don't see it. The religious blindness, you know, you can be so blind, you think you're doing the right thing, right? And you're doing the wrong thing, and you're getting in the way. And sometimes we want to help. I remember as a kid wanting to help my dad with something, and I just made it worse. And he said, here, let me do this part, you can do this other part, but, and finally, in exasperation, you're just getting in the way. Well, we don't want to get in the way of God, right? We want to be moving in His direction, the way He's leading, for the kingdom of God, right? Amen. So that's why we're here, to remind ourselves to fellowship with one another, and especially with the presence of God. Amen? Alright, so today is wedding invitation. God has a sense of humor. Have you ever looked back and saw where God led you to somewhere you thought, that would never work for me? That's not the way God would lead me to go, right? You ever done that? Yes, that's for sure. Same here, sister. Somebody told me I'd be doing a Spanish service in a jail. You got to be kidding me. I'm two strikes there. And I love it. It's absolutely incredible what God's doing. We had our jail meeting yesterday, and it was fabulous, wasn't it? Getting all of us together and reporting, just like in the book of Acts, all the things that God is doing and praising God for all that He's doing. And it is absolutely amazing. It's just incredible. So that's one thing. Yes, it's my life too. That is me being here, because I used to be over there on the other side of the mountain in Ahwatukee, and I was over there, you know, in Scottsdale. And I remember first I'd look out to see if my car was still there. And one time they took some gas out of my car. Oh, maybe they needed it more than I don't know. But it was interesting. But now I can't imagine not being here, right? It's just it's a wonderful place to serve and to minister and to grow together in Christ. As I grow older, oh boy, but that's another story. But anyway, one of the things that surprised me was back in 2005, how God led me, because I didn't know where I was going to be going. I went through a church split. I was lovingly released after spending a church and being there 16 years. And all of a sudden, what does the pastor do for a living when they're no longer a pastor? And I had no clue where I was going to go. And little did I realize I'd be led into social ministry and do it for 14 on my 14th year now and being used by God in that way. Never would imagine that. And then 6 months after being lovingly released, I was lovingly released from my marriage. Well, on New Year's Eve for that year, my wife finally said, you know what? I don't want to be married anymore. Happy New Year. Okay. That was interesting, too. So it really surprised me that God would lead me into a ministry after being divorced so recently then of doing weddings. But God's got to be kidding me. You want me to be doing weddings to serve you, because I was between churches, and the last thing I thought I'd be want to do that would be doing weddings every Saturday. But it helped pay the bills and helped out for a little bit, and it was one of the greatest blessings of my life, because as I got up there with the young couples that I was officiating for their weddings, I'd see this joy and this enthusiasm and this wonderment and excitement about marriage. And it was really, really neat. Saturday after Saturday, I'd be doing this season at least once a week, and it was amazing. I got to write a book on some things I encountered, because I remember one couple, as we were saying the vows, I thought they understood the vows, and all of a sudden the wife looks at the husband and he says, after she heard what he said, love, honor, and charity, all this, she said, do I have to say that? All that too? Yeah, it's kind of part of the wedding here. Here's the word. We went over this, remember? You remember? And it was at the Butte Resort. I'm going, yeah, do we need a time out here to kind of go through this? And we actually did. And she says, okay, I guess. So wait a minute. Okay, I guess. I've never had that somebody do that in a wedding. We got through it. Another time, we had a chauffeur in a limousine out in our church parking lot. And that was before I'd left the church there. And this is another story, by the way. The bride was sitting in the car limousine. She wouldn't come out. Said, wait a minute. It's your wedding. We're all here waiting. Well, I'm not ready yet. Well, when do you think you'll be ready? Half hour later, she came out. Another situation, I forget which resort I was at, and getting ready for the wedding, and the bride says, I have to do something, and she went to the parking lot. She was still making her dress in the parking lot. I go, how long is this going to take to make your dress? She says, oh, it could be a while. And the organist at our church was very traditional. She ran out of wedding music and started playing Lent and Dirges. And is this a prophecy about this wedding? You know, oh boy. So we waited for that. Another time, the guy's tuxedo, the sleeve went up to here. And he says, I'm not going to walk down the aisle with the sleeve of this here, short sleeve on one sleeve of my tuxedo. So we had to wait for them to bring in another tuxedo for the guy. And that was another interesting story. One time was at a resort north of here. And it was getting real cloudy and kind of dark. Wasn't looking so good. And sure enough, it started raining. And we had to walk up a hill, a muddy hill, to get to the place. Because they had this beautiful viewpoint. We had to do the wedding right there. Oh, no, we couldn't do it down by the camp. We had to go trudge up. And the lady's in her wedding dress. I'll never forget it. And it's just getting muddier and muddier. That was a quick wedding there. I could do that real quick. Let's get over this. Another one. It was a resort in Scottsdale, and interesting enough, it was another bad day of the weather, and I saw the ducks, and they didn't look real happy. When the ducks aren't happy, you know, something's not good. When the weather's so bad, ducks are having a problem with it, and it started hailing on my Bible, and had pelt marks on my Bible. It was so bad hail, and I go, well, I'm right in the middle of the house. I can't stop right now because of hail, so we went through it, and I remember the... You know, getting my Bible, and as I tried to get the main stuff done, and sure enough, we got it done. So I could write a book on all the stories about weddings, and some really neat stories about wonderful resorts, Hyatt Gainey Ranch, having a couple wonderful wedding receptions there. My goodness, this is like incredible. Having said all that, weddings are a big deal, and in the Middle East, it was even more of a big deal, because you talk about wanting to party, they would party a week or two. Because they'd come from all over, didn't have cars, planes, and automobiles, and all that stuff. So when they got together, they would stay together, and they would party for a long time. So when you had these receptions go on and on and on, it was quite a deal. So the Bible uses this illustration of weddings for the communion of God with God's people, and the wedding feast that will be in heaven. It talks about that in the Bible, that we're all invited to this wonderful wedding feast. So that was the party of all parties, which wedding in those days. And sure enough, here I remember my first house after becoming a pastor, we found this wonderful poster to put in our dining room, and it had an endless table of table setting, nice silverware and china, and you couldn't see the end of the table, and there was a golden sunset at the end, and then it had the verse about the fact that we're all invited to the wedding feast and come, for all is now ready. And we're invited to dine and to feast with God. And we would have that invitation to be with God forever in heaven. So having said all that, a parable is a heavenly story with an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So all these stories that Jesus tells are the idea of there's this earthly story, but there's a heavenly meaning about this. And that's what we'll talk about today. So that's a long introduction to Matthew 22, verse 1. And Jesus says, or Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. If you've ever tried to plan a wedding, you try to figure out how many people are going to be in attendance, it's going to be a real challenge. And nowadays, a lot of people don't RSVP, right? It used to be everybody would do that. And so it can be a real challenge trying to figure out how many people are going to show up for any party, especially a wedding, a reception, right? And here, there people just had one excuse after another, and they said, we're not coming. That was an insult. Here you've got the king's son getting married. If you know what's best for you with your job and connections and networking, you will go to that wedding, right? I mean, the king's wedding, and you're invited. That would be the height of insult to be invited to the king's son's wedding and say, oh, sorry, I'm too busy. I'm not going. Not real good, right? Not real wise. But they refused to go. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. So now he's going to tell them, I've got this nice free dinner. I've got a wonderful dinner all set. My oxen and fat and cattle have been butchered. I've got a nice steak fry, barbecue, all the food. It's going to be great. And everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. You've got this free dinner. I was talking to somebody. He said, you know, I don't mind going to weddings. It's always free. And I remember a friend of mine who he would go to the hotel on a Saturday, and he would go from one reception to the other, and he'd just kind of help himself out, and he'd be real friendly. Hi, how are you? Oh, yes, I remember you. No clue. He pulled it off. The wedding crasher, right? But here you've got this wonderful wedding feast all set, and the invitation goes out. It says, but they paid no attention and went off. One to his field. Another to his business. You think they'd like an excuse to get off work, right? Oh, it's a paid holiday for the king. King's holiday. Sure. But, oh, no, I'd rather go to work. I'm going to go out to the field. So this is the height of insult to the king, right? His own subjects are refusing to go. And it says the rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. So now the servants go out and issue these invitations. Talk about killing the messenger. They literally killed the messengers, just invited them to a wedding. That's all they were doing. Who is Jesus talking about here? Who's he talking about? The Pharisees. You guys. You out there. You. And he's just saying, you're gonna kill the king's son, who is Jesus, right? And you're thinking, what does God do? Does he offer this invitation to only certain people? No, everybody's invited to this, right? Especially the house of Israel. They were invited first. They were the first ones on the list, literally. And they all said, nope, too busy, can't go, nope, not going. How do you think the king felt about this? Well, the king was enraged, to say the least, it says. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Whoa, you better not mess with the king, right? There were some consequences to their behavior. Then he said to the servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So now we've got this wedding. It's an empty banquet hall. He's paid for the reception, right? He paid for it. Might as well have it. I remember one wedding. They canceled the wedding. They said, well, we got all this food. Let's have a party anyway. So they had a party and no wedding. I don't know what they do with the presents. They probably returned them. But anyway, so here they've got a wedding all set and no one's coming. So he says, go out and invite everybody. Go to the street corners and invite them to the banquet, anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. So you finally got the place jam-packed with good and bad people. Again, Jesus pointing out the Pharisees are not so good. And Jesus says, I'm going to go out. I'm going to reach out to everyone. Who did Jesus associate with? Tax collectors, prostitutes, to those really down and out, spiritual poor and needy, physically poor and needy, and just God's love and His mercy so great. And so God uses this story here, and the Holy Spirit uses it to issue us an invitation. So we are called to the wedding banquet. We all got invited. It's like, y'all invited, y'all come, right? And the Holy Spirit issues that invitation to every single person. It says, I want you to come to heaven. I died for you that you might be in heaven with me forever and ever and ever, nonstop. And it's a free gift. Here, just take it. Just receive it. And isn't it sad that the majority of people say, oh, no, no, thanks. No, I'm too busy, or no, I'm doing my own thing. You want to give up going to heaven? The greatest, and a lot of people say, oh, I'm just going to raise you-know-what in hell with my friends. No, you won't be doing that. You won't be partying in hell. It'll be awful. You'll be isolated. It'll be torment forever. It's not a place anybody wants to go. And so here you have the Savior saying, I died so you wouldn't have to go there, and heaven is the happiest, most joyful place in the universe. And come and be with me. And God issues that invitation. We know how we feel when we invite people and they reject the message, right? Are they rejecting us? No. Who are they rejecting? And if Jesus was rejected, well, we're going to get rejected too, unfortunately, right? Not everybody's going to, oh, yeah, because they're darkened, they're blinded to the joy that we all feel, right? Isn't it sad? Doesn't it break your heart when you want people to know about Jesus and they just don't get it, and the light doesn't come on? Well, what do? Keep praying. Keep loving people. Because eventually we pray that light will go ding. It's just like when our phone goes off and we have a message, ding. The light bulb goes ding. And go, oh! And like my daughter now, Dad, did you know those verses in the Bible? Yeah. Did you know about this song? Yeah. And now it's her discovery, and she's so excited to share that with me and others as well. And this is really great. But the joy of the Lord is there. And the Bible uses such a joyous occasion as a wedding reception to point out the joy of being in God's presence. Isn't it great? Being in God's presence, there ain't nothing like it. There's nothing like it. There's nothing better than that. Super Bowl doesn't compare to it, especially this year, but we won't go, no, Pastor Rick would disagree with that. I didn't want the Patriots again. I'm tired of the Patriots. But anyway, right? And we're gonna hear all about the Super Bowl. Pastor Rick flies in right before the Super Bowl, so hopefully he doesn't have a flight delay. And this is, that wouldn't that be funny? If he missed out on the Super Bowl, his own team, after all these years and decades, he waits for his team. So we'll pray that he's able to see it. He gets back in time. But anyway, God issues the invitation, and so many reject it. So, but here we got the wedding hall is filled with people, and now something else happens. The king's walking around greeting everyone. And first we got to set it up, because what would happen is in a rich wedding, especially because of the fact that people were out in the fields and were dirty many times and had different forms of dress, the rich owner, or the rich father, actually, would make sure that everybody had a wedding garment made for them, and sometimes it would be tailor-made just for them. And it'd be real beautiful and attractive and adorned with all jewels and all kinds. So everybody, as they came into the wedding, had a garment that they were supposed to put on. So you had everybody dressed up. Nobody come in blue jeans. Nobody come in, you know, all dirty. You had to dress to the nines, if you will. And the owner and the father would make sure that everybody was dressed nice by giving them like a free tux. So here's your tux. Here's your dress, ma'am. Here we go. And so everybody looked really nice. But then the king is looking around. He's greeting all the guests. And he sees someone without their wedding garment. It's tossed to the side. They refuse to put it on. They refuse to take the king's invitation and put on this very nice set of clothes. Instead, just said, I'm not doing that. Well, the king again was not very happy. He was enraged. And it says, when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he said, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendant, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Again, speaking out to the religious scribes and Pharisees that thought they're all good and so wonderful and religious and perfect, that they were sinners. And they were rejecting to put on the very gospel of righteousness that Jesus was going to pay for them by his blood shed on the cross about 3 or 4 days later after this was told, the story was told, and they're rejecting it. The Bible in the Old and New Testament talks about putting on the robe of righteousness. And in our Spanish service, we have a song, Buscando Refugio, and it talks about putting on the manto de perdón, right? Remember that? And it's putting on this mantle, this jacket, this coat of pardon. And the Bible talks about is taking off our dirty clothes and filthy clothes, and God putting robe over us, the robe of righteousness, of white purity. Are we pure? Are we holy? Are we perfect on our own? No. But just by his blood on the cross shed for us, he declares us righteous, and he gives us the robe of righteousness, and he puts that on, and he takes off our filthy, dirty, nasty, stinking clothes, because the Bible says even our good deeds are like filthy rags in God's sight. So Jesus is here. I've got the perfect clothes for you. Perfection. Put on my perfection from head to toe, and it covers you. So the question is, are you covered with the blood of Jesus, the robe of righteousness? Amen. And if he's got you covered, why do we worry, right? We're covered by the robe of righteousness. So it was a height of insult in this wedding for somebody to say, no, I'm not putting that on. Yet people do that to God all the time, reject Him. In our day and age, it's unbelievable, isn't it? You look at TV, you look at the world, the way it's going. Everybody's going a different direction. Shannon was talking about trying to get days off so she can go to church and Bible study and prayer. And how she was talking about, they said, like they were going to punish her and make her work on Friday night. We're going to give you Sunday, Monday off, and you're going to have to work Fridays and Saturdays. She said, oh, fine. They thought it was a punishment that she'd have to work on the weekend. She'd get Sunday and Monday off for worship and then prayer tomorrow, right? Right, Shannon? Amen. And the world thinks Friday is it. Live for the weekend. Live for the party life. Oh, really? Is that where life is? No. So, the Holy Spirit comes and tries to invite people as we issue those invitations. We got all these wedding invitations for this wonderful feast that'll go on forever and ever, like that poster I had. We got this beautiful table setting that goes on forever into eternity. The happiest, most joyous occasion you can imagine, that's what heaven will be like. And the question is, do people want to go? Do you want to go? Yes, you want to go? Well, here's the offer. If you haven't received it, this would be a great time to receive it. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I received your invitation. I want to be part of your family. I want to be part of your celebration in heaven. And it also, by the way, starts right now. We get appetizers right now. I love appetizers. Like your hot wings, Alex. Oh, man, those were the best the other day. Or the other night. Boy, that was good. And appetizers make you hungry for more. The question is, do you make people hungry for more of God? More of Jesus, more of the Holy Spirit? And we pray that you're an appetizer, and when people see you, they're more hungry for God than before, because He is the bread of life, and He satisfies completely. Super Bowl won't do it, parties won't do it, other people won't do it, the perfect job won't do it, perfect kids won't do it. There's no perfection here, but all in heaven, it's all good. It's all good we talk about, right? Well, it's truly all good with God. So we celebrate, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for inviting us to the table, inviting us to a celebration, to the feast, Lord. The greatest feast, the greatest party ever in eternity in heaven with you. The greatest joy that we can't even imagine. The greatest love we can't imagine. And hope and joy without end, getting better each day in heaven. And our loved ones are there, and we want to be with them, Lord. And Lord, so we ask you to cover our sinfulness, which is stinking and embarrassing many times to us, our failures, our shame. Cover us with the robe of righteousness, the mantle of perdon, or pardon. Will you cover us with your love, with your forgiveness? Forgive us for many times for refusing to put on the clothes that you give us. So help us to put on the clothes of righteousness right now and be clothed by you, Lord. We want to respond to your invitation by saying yes to you, to your kingdom. And then we want to put on those clothes. And then we want to go out and invite others to your feet. Forgive us for getting too busy with everything else in life and not thinking about the eternal feast to come that truly satisfies. Lord, forgive us our sins. Purify us now. And get us excited, Lord, for more for you. It's all about your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place, in this church. I thank you for everyone here and the joy and the blessings they give to me. We also pray for our marriages, Lord. We pray for those that have lost the luster and the shine and gleam and the joy and the love they used to have. Bring back that first love to the couples in our church, Lord. Bring it back, Lord. Restore that love and that passion and that incredible joy so they look each other in the eye and they have that same love, an even deeper love than before. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, and we ask you to watch over them. Oh, Lord, in your mercy, imprisoned by stuff in our lives. Set us free. Set us free, Lord. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray that all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother. Amen. All right.